Welcome to the Spirit of Work solo episodes of the Culture and Leadership Connections podcast. If you long to see happier and more humane workplaces and want to reflect on how that could happen, you are in the right place. These monthly solo episodes are based on my book, The Spirit of Work, Timeless Wisdom, Current Realities. The book was written from three complementary sources of knowledge. One, the sacred writings of the world's spiritual traditions. Two, scientific developments on human behavior and well-being in the workplace. And three, insightful experiences from business, my clients, and my own work. In each episode, I elaborate on one of the ideas from the book and ask questions to help us all think more holistically about work. Join me as we combine the wisdom of the past and the reading of our current realities to build the future of work. And now for today's episode. Hello, Culture and Leadership Connections podcast listeners. Welcome to solo episode 10 of The Spirit of Work, the interdependence of purpose, belonging, and uniqueness. This is from chapter 3 of my book, The Spirit of Work. And it is a call to consider purpose, belonging, and uniqueness together. The reason for that is because when you have a sense of purpose about something, it inspires you and causes your own inner motivation to move forward. Without a sense of purpose, your own inner motivation cannot take root because you don't feel like what you're doing matters. And feeling like what we do matters is essential to feeling satisfied as a human being at work. So a sense of purpose can come from the fact that the work that you do feels purposeful. It can come from you knowing what you do is part of a machine of a company or organization that brings good end user results. And it may be that your sense of purpose is that what you're doing allows you to feed your family and put a roof over their heads. Purpose doesn't all have to come from the same place. But the more people are aware that they need purpose in order to work effectively, the more likely they are to be able to find it within themselves. You may have a system that's not great. Maybe you're making stuffed toys in a sweat factory somewhere on the other part of the world, and you don't feel like the work is satisfying or purposeful. However, you know that what you're doing is helping your family, and that can give you the sense of purpose, even though the system itself is oppressive and unjust. The same thing can happen in organizations where people are surrounded by difficult and unrealistic workplace expectations and toxic bosses and difficult interpersonal relationships. Your sense of purpose doesn't come from any of those things, but your ability to arise and take the high road, or your ability to find that moment of appreciation in another person, brings you the sense of purpose. And you can always find purpose in something that you're doing. Even when people are in extremely dire situations, they can find purpose in something as simple as observing a drop of rain. So purpose really matters to work. And once you have a sense of purpose about anything that you do, the next piece is, do you belong? Are you seen? Are you acknowledged? And belonging and uniqueness are a kind of a paradox, because in order to belong, you have to conform to the group enough that they accept you. In order to be unique, you have to be your own individual self and feel free to express that. The more you are free to express who you are, the more likely you are to feel that you belong and be willing to conform to pieces of the group. Norms allow you to feel like you belong and for others to feel like you belong too. So that paradox of belonging and uniqueness is that they work hand in hand. If everybody is expected to conform to very specific rules and norms all the time, and there is no appreciation of their unique, personal, and diverse contributions, then people get more and more demoralized. They find less and less purpose in what they're doing, and they don't feel like they belong. They may even sabotage the workplace. And yet, when their own ideas and contributions are celebrated and they have a voice, this is the contribution of the unique individual. It allows people to feel like they belong, the organization to see them as belonging, and for them to be acknowledged. The other paradox is that many of my coaching clients are just longing to be acknowledged, to be seen, and to be heard. It just consumes their whole being. And they want it so badly that they actually push it away. And the reason they push it away is because they have to recognize their own worth and their own uniqueness and their own qualities and acknowledge them within themselves in order to be able to project that to others. So if your heart is constantly looking for external fulfillment, and you can't find it, it's because you're actually alienating the external validation that you would automatically receive, not constantly from everybody, but you would receive it in ways that would matter to you if you were not seeking it so actively. It's kind of like if you've ever gone on a date with someone who is very urgently trying to get you for something. I mean, maybe they wanted to commodify you, or they wanted to marry you, or they wanted to do something that you would probably not want to do, but they were insistent on trying to manipulate you to get into that. How likely are you to enjoy that experience? How likely are you to want to cooperate with them? You would probably only do it under duress. So it's the same thing. If you want something really badly, like to be acknowledged, to be heard, and to be seen from external sources, you're going to push that away from yourself. You will feel like you don't belong, that your own uniqueness is not seen, and you'll have difficulty connecting to your sense of purpose. However, when you start to connect within yourself, realize you're created noble, that you're part of the puzzle of humanity, and without your piece of the puzzle, humanity is incomplete, that your contributions and your own unique self are necessary, you start to feel confident within yourself, and you project that out to others. That projection of energy from your heart helps others to be attracted to you, and they see that in themselves as well. Now, the converse can also happen. People can also see that in you and want it for themselves and think that by destroying you, they're going to get it. That's the same problem as you wanting to be acknowledged, usually from people who aren't worth your acknowledgement desires. It's their problem, though. That's not your problem. Their problem is that they cannot see themselves as being capable and competent, and can't see themselves as having the ability to grow and to be appreciated and acknowledged. And therefore, they either push themselves into self-loathing, or they cause others to have a very negative, unpleasant work experience, or both at the same time. So your sense of confidence in yourself and in the nobility of your own being can certainly inspire others, but it may not. It may provide a reverse reaction. I'm just being realistic about this. But if it does, you can sell yourself. You know what? That is because they need to learn to love themselves. And they don't feel safe to explore their own ability to learn and to become more competent. So it allows you to be more compassionate and not to take it as a personal insult. Even if it feels personal, you won't take it personally. All of this can be developed through service, which is the other piece in chapter 3, which is that when we feel that we are being of service, first off, we develop more appreciation, and any holds of entitlement get dissolved because we develop more appreciation. When we're serving, we see ourselves as being resourced and resourceful, and we also see others as being part of our purvey. We're working together as a connected human race. So let me read a little bit about service from page 47 of my book. This is the quote. Service helps you to know your own boundaries and limitations while simultaneously offering opportunities for latent potential to reveal itself. The two seeming polarities exist in a dynamic tension that keeps the tightrope of life interesting and ever-changing. The more self-aware you become, the more other-aware you become. The more you serve, the more you develop your true self. The more your true self shows itself to others, the more they feel called to develop their own true selves. This is similar to the sense of belonging. To belong, we need to see ourselves as unique and lovable. Without this foundation, there is only a desire to be accepted by copying others. But acceptance does not come from the outside. It comes from within. As we love ourselves, we become more attractive to others, and this mutual attraction is the beginning of belonging. When we experience belonging, we tend to see ourselves as like the others and able to blend with the group, effectively submerging our individuality in the group identity. Yet, for a group to be truly inclusive and promote strong feelings of belonging in its individual members, the group needs to see everyone as unique and recognize them for who they are on their own terms. This, in turn, expands the ability of the group to grow and to develop. If you would like to know more about this, it's a very interesting chapter. And I have a really great example about a plant that was trying to improve its efficiency based only on ideas and not on people's sense of belonging and their contributions. And it caused an entire billion-dollar process to fail. You'll find out all about it on page 49 and 50. And there's also some tips on how to find organizational purpose if you are in a position to be able to want to communicate that to others. So it's called The Spirit of Work, Timeless Wisdom, Current Realities, and you can get it on Amazon. I hope you will pick up a copy and that you will read chapter 3, which is about belonging and purpose and uniqueness and how they all fit together. If you enjoyed this, please share it with a friend. And you can also rate and review on our webpage for the podcast, which is shiftworkplace.com redbox.com/podcast. Then go to the We Would Love to Hear from You red box and add your comments or questions, and that would be truly awesome. So thank you so much for listening, and may culture and leadership connections continue to guide and inspire your day. We have a great review from Elizabeth Mars, who wrote, "I thoroughly enjoy the guest interview format on culture and leadership connections. It is unique and helps the guests provide very authentic responses, making me feel like I really get to know them. I also love hearing about how people grow up and how that impacts their sense of culture and leadership in the workplace today. Lastly, the Insights episodes offer practical examples for addressing the issues at hand. I am looking forward to future episodes." Thank you, Elizabeth. And if you're wondering about the Insights episodes, you can just type Insights into the search bar in the shiftworkplace.com website, and you will find all the Insights episodes pop up, and you can listen to them. They're all insights about leadership in the workplace that you will enjoy and that Elizabeth Mars particularly liked. Thanks, Elizabeth.